versus Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Mr. Porter.
Please, court. I'm here to represent Jay Bartley, a prisoner in the Wisconsin prison system. He's not able to be here today, but he sends his greetings to the court.
Mr. Bartley. Porter, I have a question for you about the relation, if any, between this earlier sex offender program that Mr. Bartley participated in at the Green Bay Institution, which is mentioned in paragraph 14 of your complaint, and then this other, you know, capital S sex offender treatment program at Oshkosh that is preventing him, if you will, from being eligible for parole. These are two entirely different programs?
Yes. The program that's known as the SOTP, which is the program that's the subject of this case, is a highly intensive residential program that involves deep immersion in the treatment process. The SOT program that Mr. Bartley completed at Green Bay was there was no special residency. It just took place at the institution at which he was incarcerated. I think it consisted primarily of group processes and possibly some individual counseling. The important thing is that the Wisconsin Department of Corrections does not consider them comparable and considers the SOTP to be the important program to complete.
I guess since we're here in such a preliminary stage, I'm not sure how to ask this, but do we know when the SOTP itself, the Oshkosh program, began? This was after Mr. Bartley was incarcerated at Oshkosh?
It was after 1990 when he was incarcerated. I can tell you from my own experience, I've represented another inmate about 10 years ago in regard to that program, so I know it was established by 1996 or 97. I don't know exactly, but it was after his incarceration date.
Okay.
Let me just ask you, what exactly happened? I know you mentioned it briefly, that caused the SOTP directors to remove from his record his completion of the program in 96. Is there anything more? I mean,
as Mr. Bartley explains it, he would submit to the court that he has been extremely motivated to get treatment and to address his sexual problems. And he took the SOT program when it was managed by the names escape me, but the first two individuals who managed the
Hill
program.
Hill and Snyder, right?
Yes, and then he completed that program, and on his own motivation, he wanted to stay in the group process that was going on, for his own personal benefit to keep working on himself, but also because he felt he could benefit other inmates who were coming to the program. At some point, and in the course of that, new managers came to manage the program, and at some point, Mr. Bartley decided he was ready to quit the program, and he simply described that or mentioned that interest to the head of the program.
Are you arguing that at any time someone is denied access to a prison program that might affect his parole, he has a constitutional case?
No. We're arguing, Your Honor, that
What if there was some work program, you know, you can work making license plates or something, and suppose, you know, if you work, you're a good worker, it helps your parole claim, and a person says, I wanted to work in that, do that work, it would have helped me with my parole, and they wouldn't let me do it. That would be just like this case.
No, it wouldn't, Your Honor. Yeah. I think the distinction is...
Your whole brief is focused on the fact that admission to this program would have increased his chances for parole.
No, that's not our argument, Your Honor. Our argument is...
You make the argument at great length.
The argument is that...
You're talking about entitlement to parole.
We're talking about...
Constitutional right that was affected by the fact that he was denied access to a program that would have made a good impression on the parole board.
We're talking about Mr. Bartley being denied any opportunity to be considered for parole because the Department of Corrections will not put him in the program that they've mandated he must have. We're talking about...
Yeah, that's different from my situation. I mean, suppose, yes, there was a rule which said you're entitled to work manufacturing license plates. And if you do that, if you don't do that, they can still parole you. They have very broad discretion, but they're not likely to.
We have alleged that they will not parole you if you're a sex offender with the type
they
of...
They certainly have the authority to.
Your Honor, we would submit it's a question of fact as to whether or not...
Question of fact? I mean, what are we going to do? Explore the unwritten policies of a parole board?
The parole commission, three times in Mr. Bartley's interest, strongly recommended to the prison that he be put in the program so that they could consider him for release. And they acknowledge, as other witnesses would testify at trial, that there is no chance that Mr. Bartley can be paroled until he completes that program. So in effect...
That would be perfectly correct, but you can imagine thousands of different cases in which denial of access to a program, you can just predict that parole board isn't going to grant parole to this person.
We're talking about the difference between a negative right and a positive right. I think that this court's cases up to this point have dealt with inmates who are asserting an affirmative right to parole, an affirmative right to programming, because it might enhance that chance of parole.
Well, we're talking exactly what you're saying.
What we're talking about here is a policy or a practice of the Department of Corrections that acts as an absolute bar, Your Honor, an absolute bar to parole.
A practice can't be an absolute bar. They can always change a practice.
Well, that's their practice right now, and it's their policy.
But you can see what the problem would be, that any prisoner could argue that if I'm not admitted to this program, as a practical matter, I'm not going to have a shot at early parole, because the practice of the parole board, and he can have a parade of witnesses to support that, is that if you're not in this program, we don't consider you for early parole.
Your Honor,
all those cases would be litigable in federal court under constitutional law on your argument.
Well, what we're saying, Your Honor, is that if you look at Zimmerman and Litcher in those cases, they're alleging that they might benefit from a program. They're alleging that they might get good time. We're not talking about maybe getting good time. We know from Wolf versus McDonald that if they take away your good time,
it's a certainty. Then you have a parade of witnesses and say, no, the parole board is never granted, you know, and all that. It's a question of whether we want to bite off that particular... I mean, that would really inject federal courts deeply into the parole process.
Well, do you have anything, you know, a statement, a memo, something, a regulation from the parole board itself that says we, in the exercise of our discretion, have passed this rule and we are saying nobody who's a sex offender can get parole until he's completed the SOTP?
It's an unwritten rule.
It's an unwritten rule. Now, if there were a written rule, you'd be in better shape, probably, if the parole board had said, this is how we're interpreting our authority.
Right, and in Wilkinson, it's a question of fact. You know, under Wilkinson, the court says in the specific factors of the specific.
By a question of fact.
Well, you have to look at the specific facts and the specific factors that pertain to this case.
What we're talking about is the fact of practices by a parole board that, from which one can infer their attitude towards their exercise of discretion. Isn't that what you're suggesting?
What we're saying is that the parole commission will not parole anybody with the type of offense that Mr. Bartley has.
As a matter of discretion, that's your inference from their practices. They haven't said we're going to bind ourselves, we're going to reduce the area of our discretion by having a rule.
Mr. Bartley would testify that that's what he's been told by them, that he will not be paroled unless he has it. And that no other inmate has been in the whole history of the 10 years that they've had the program. I've litigated that case, that issue before, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Porter. Are you appointed to...
No, I'm not. I'm private pay, and I thank you very much for this opportunity.
Okay, well, we thank you for your representation. And the court will be in recess until 2 o'clock this afternoon.